Jesus resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. So St. Luke tells us at the opening of today's gospel reading. He resolutely determined. That means he went purposefully. He went without wavering. He went on mission. Why was Jesus so resolute in his desire to go to Jerusalem? Well, he was going there to fulfill his mission. He was going there to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead. It was the whole reason why he had come. The whole reason why God became man, took on flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, why Jesus was born and lived. Everything was moving towards what would happen in Jerusalem. And nothing was going to stop him from fulfilling that mission. That's why St. Luke makes it a point to say that he resolutely determined to go there. Just last night, I came home from a pilgrimage you may have heard about. I wrote in the bulletin that I was going to be away last week. I was on a pilgrimage to the Passion Play in Oberammergau, Germany. We flew from Washington to Vienna and toured around there and made our way across the country of Vienna to Salzburg, which was made famous in this country by the von Trapp family from The Sound of Music. I learned more about The Sound of Music there than I ever thought was possible. And then we made our way from there into Germany, to a part of Germany called Bavaria, which has always been very traditionally Catholic. As a matter of fact, the Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI is originally from that region of Germany, the Bavarian region. And there in Bavaria is this moderate-sized town of Oberammergau. And back in 1633, when the plague was ravishing Europe, the people of that town came together and they prayed. And they told God that if the dying stopped in their town, they would perpetually put on a play in honor of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And miraculously, from that time on, no one else in the town died from the plague. And so began this tradition of the Passion Play. It's put on every decade, every 10 years, with very few stops between 1633 and now. And of course, you know, this one was delayed because of the pandemic. It was supposed to happen in 2020. And the town has fulfilled this promise since. And watching that play on Friday made this first line of today's gospel jump out at me, that Jesus resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. Because in this play, Jesus is portrayed as being very strong-willed, very firm, very strong in his mission. It might be because he was speaking German that it sounded this way. It's very strong language. But I think even when I read the English dialogue, he's very strong in his mission. He didn't come across as the kind of wimpy savior that sometimes he can be portrayed in our popular culture. And in that determination, he runs up against the religious leaders, the Romans, even some of his own disciples. He runs into many obstacles. And today's gospel passage is about just some of those obstacles. The obstacles that he runs into in his resolute determination to go to Jerusalem. First, we hear about James and John and the Samaritans. The Samaritans were sort of a sect of Judaism. They had kind of intermarried with their neighbors, so they were partly Jewish and partly had pagan practices. And there was a lot of racism, what we would call racism, between those two groups. Those Jews who considered themselves to be purebred, and these Samaritans that they considered to be sort of mixed breed. And they looked down on each other, and as a matter of fact, hated each other. So James and John go ahead of Jesus to prepare his way in this Samaritan town, and they want nothing to do with him, specifically because his destination is Jerusalem. And James and John, they become indignant at them and say, "Lord, let us rain down fire from heaven on them and destroy them." And I imagine Jesus probably laughed at them and thought about how they so much missed the mark. That Jesus had come to save all people, regardless of ethnic tribe or division. He's the Savior of all. And Jesus rebukes James and John because he's traveling to Jerusalem to die for all people. Then we hear about the person who says that they will follow Jesus wherever he goes. And Jesus says that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Following Jesus may become at times uncomfortable because we have no home in this world. We're part of this world, but yet we're journeying to something greater, to our heavenly homeland. So we're part of this world, but not of the world. And that perhaps made this person uncomfortable, that there would be no home base in this world. If in our following of Jesus we have never felt uncomfortable or become uncomfortable, we're doing something wrong. Because following Jesus is profoundly countercultural. And we're going to find that we don't normally fit into the divisions and breakdowns of our society. And then he goes on a little further and he calls the man to follow him and he says, "Jesus, I have to bury my father first." And then the other person who responds that I have to say farewell to my family first. And whenever I hear this particular part of the gospel, it always makes my heart skip a beat. Because I'm sure, like many of you, I very much love my family. And the idea of disregarding my family like this is certainly uncomfortable. I think what Jesus is trying to do here is specifically to make our hearts skip a beat. To listen to what he's saying. That our following him, our discipleship, has to be first and foremost in our lives. And that when it is the center of our lives, everything else will fall into place. Even family relationships. Even family relationships that may be somewhat strained or difficult. When Jesus is in the center of our lives, that's what will make everything else fall into place. Jesus isn't saying that family is a bad thing. But rather he's saying, focus on me, and then all of these other things will fall into place. That if we follow after him, we can't sort of put our hand on the plow and look in one direction and try to be moving towards him because we're going to be pulled. We have to place our direction firmly on him. Jesus resolutely determines to journey to Jerusalem. But so much gets in his way. And my dear friends, I think that the point of today's gospel, today's scripture readings, is that all of us have set out on a mission to follow Jesus. It began in our baptisms, when our lives of faith began, when we were made brothers and sisters of Jesus and sons and daughters of God. We are on a pilgrimage to that heavenly homeland. And we have to be resolute in our determination to follow Jesus. that there will be obstacles that get in our way. Maybe some of the obstacles from today's gospel resonated with you today. Maybe there are others that you're facing or have faced before. There will come obstacles. But by placing Jesus first and foremost in our lives, we will overcome every obstacle. When we are resolutely determined to follow him, to make him the center of our lives, nothing will truly ever get in the way. Look at Elisha in the first reading today. He's going about his daily duties. He's minding his own business. He's plowing the fields, his job. And here comes Elijah, who throws his mantle over him and calls him to follow after him as his successor. And what does Elisha do? He burns his bridges, literally. He takes the plow and breaks it up and starts a fire. He slaughters the oxen. And he puts his past behind him. Somebody came out of the last mass this morning and said, "Boy, Father, that must have been some barbecue." I said, "Excuse me?" Yes, it was some barbecue. It was a sign that he was putting his past behind him and moving forward in the direction that God was calling him to go. And so, my friends, we too must be resolutely determined to follow after Jesus and to persevere through the obstacles that come into all of our lives. This past Friday was a momentous day in the history of our nation with the overturning of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. Talk about resolute determination. For almost 50 years, people of goodwill in this country have been praying and acting and working for this particular moment. And as Archbishop Laurie said in his statement on Friday, it's both a victory, but also a challenge. It's a challenge now for people of goodwill in this post-Roe America to try to continue to work for the value and dignity of all human life. Because we are not merely anti-abortion, we are pro-life. All human life in all of its stages and conditions. Simply because of statistics, we know that many, many people in this country have been touched by the tragedy of abortion, whether personally or part of their family. Perhaps it has come into some of your lives. But because we are pro-life, because we know that God loves us without condition, even if this terrible thing has come into your life, God continues to love you and continues to call you to follow him. God calls all of us as people of goodwill to work for the value and dignity of human life, both that is not yet born, pre-born, born, and the lives of women. As Catholics in Maryland, very little is going to change at this juncture. As a matter of fact, it may get worse moving forward. But we, as Catholics in this state, have to give continued witness to the value of life and to work for those organizations that are supporting life, our pregnancy centers, our doctors, our nurses, who value the dignity of all human life. So while we have cause to give thanks to God for this step, we also realize we have a lot more work to do in the future so that truly we might build up the culture of a dignity of all human life. So my friends, let us be resolutely determined to follow our Lord, to follow Jesus, follow him wherever he might go so that we can follow him on to heaven. And that as we go, our lives might give witness to the value of all human life.
with trust in the Lord who calls us as his disciples. We bring him all our needs, making our response, Lord, hear our prayer.
For the church, that she may continue to joyfully proclaim the saving mercy of the Lord and follow him with steadfast fidelity, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our federal and state leaders, that they would pursue the genuine good of their citizens in accordance with the laws of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For parents, that by their lives and examples of holiness, they may encourage religious vocations among their children, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For expectant mothers, that they be lovingly supported by the fathers of their children in welcoming new life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are sick in mind, spirit, and body, that they will receive the healing and lasting peace that only Christ can bring, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers in Book of Intentions, and for the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord. For the Father's Day's intention, for whom this Mass is offered, and the souls of all the faithful departed, that they be purified of sins and share in the Lord's resurrection, we pray to the Lord.
Let us pray for our vacation Bible school, which begins tomorrow, for all of our campers and volunteers, that they may be touched by God's word and know of his love for them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our young people and chaperones who are in Steubenville, Ohio, at a conference this weekend, that God might touch their hearts and bring them home safely. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father, by our baptism, we are committed to following your Son. Hear our prayers and help us keep our hearts focused on you. We ask these and all of our prayers through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us join.